You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak in Napa County. Here's a check on the latest wildfire. It's the Snell Fire. CAL FIRE's incident page says it has burned just under 2,500 acres. It's now 65% contained, and all evacuations and road closures have been lifted. The Northern California wildfires this year produced heavy, smoky air that, as you know, hovered over wine country for many weeks. And now it's the season for harvesting the grapes. I talked about this with wine expert Rick Cushman, and here's this month's Cushman by the Bottle.
We really won't know the impact of all the smoke from the range of wildfires for a while. We might taste it in a year. So at the moment, we proceed as if we are having another year. And the truth of it is every year has something. So this is the year there might be a little bit of smokiness.
Yeah, sometimes we're talking about rain that came at inopportune times.
Absolutely.
Or in big volumes.
And remember that thing called drought? We had that one for a few years,
too. We had that year after year after year. So there are some common questions every time harvest season rolls around.
Absolutely.
And that is, when does the picking happen? Especially if you go by a field at night and you see all of the lights out there and people picking at all hours
of the
night.
That's a great question. And one of the questions I used to get all the time, in fact, I still get all the time, and we even get it on our podcast all the time, which is like, why do they do this at night? Isn't it easier when they can see what they're doing? But the answer is a handful. One of them, it is, you know, on hot days, it's for worker safety. But let's face it, it also has to do with the quality of the wine. And think about fruit when it's cold versus fruit when it's hot. It's just more vulnerable when it's warm.
Yeah.
And so there's two things that happen to grapes when they get warm. One of them is they get soft and they could break. If you put them in the bin and they sit in the bin for a little while, or even any bit, and there's sugars and yeasty sugars, and they could start fermenting sitting there in a person's basket. The other is that the sugars levels actually rise in the grapes during the day as the heat goes up.
Mm.
So I remember winemakers are walking around in their vineyards and they're tasting and they're going, now it's perfect. Let's pick now these rows or this section. But if they waited till later in the day, say they picked it at noon or 2 p.m, that next day even, the grapes would taste slightly different. They'd be slightly sweeter, or they would lose something. It would just have a slightly different impact on the grape. It sort of freezes the moment and it keeps the grapes intact.
One of my most vivid examples of that doesn't have to do with wine, but when I was growing sweet corn in my garden, a neighbor said to me, pick it from the garden and run it in and get it in the pot right away so the sugar content doesn't change so much.
Were you out there with a headlamp, Beth, crossing the street with carrying your
corn? I had the water boiling in the kitchen waiting to run with
that
the sweet corn.
It's true about a lot of things. You know, I mean, you talk about peach off the tree. Okay, you know, it's sweet. It's sweet. Tomatoes, too. Fresh tomatoes, you know. It's almost like the longer it's been since you picked a homegrown tomato, the less it feels so sweet and soft. And that's a thing we forget about with farm products, and especially with these high-end wine grapes, is those things are really volatile.
Hmm. So hand-picking versus machine-picking.
Another good question. Yeah. We get this one all the time. And one of the reasons we get this one all the time is because we get a call from the podcast, or just a friend walks up to me and said, we were out wine tasting today, and they were talking about how much they always handpick. The truth is, it is not a simple one is better than the other. Machine harvesting does a few things. In some cases, it can be more gentle, because what it does is nowadays is it just shakes the vine. So the grapes that are ready to come off are the ones that come off. So you're getting the absolutely perfectly ripe, ready to ferment fruit. And the flip side is hand harvesting. That's really hard work. First, it's really hard work. You're bent over, you're carrying, and you're working fast. But you know, most of the folks in the fields now are pretty skilled, and so they have a great eye too. And so they know what fruit to pick, and they know what to leave. So it's a little bit, you know, in both cases can be just as gentle to machine.
Sometimes it's a question of available labor.
Oh, that's a huge issue.
And the hiring of labor. And so choosing a machine might be the only option.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that's happened in California, and really in other places around the U.S., but in California in particular, as new vineyards go in, they try to lay them out so there can be a machine harvesting. A machine harvesting has really progressed, and so even year to year that may change. But the idea means rows have to be a little farther apart. You know, it's really tall with big wheels, and it goes over the grapevine. So there's a wheel in each row. That's generally what a lot of them look like. And but the problem is immigration issues and labor issues have made it very difficult to get enough labor in all of California farming. And so that's one of the things that a lot of, especially the larger vineyard owners that can afford to do this, is that when they replant, they're replanting in a way that they can use machine labor. Machine harvesters.
I'm talking with Rick Cushman. This is this month's Cushman by the Bottle. It's September, so we are in harvest season with a lot of different factors and a lot of different questions. You've mentioned your podcast, so let's put in a plug for it, for Bottle Talk with Rick and Paul.
Bottle Talk with Rick and Paul, the funniest wine podcast in America, competition zero. That's the thing. Everybody's so serious about wine. We're funny about it. We're charming about it, we like to think, and we are welcoming to everyone.
How do grape growers know when to pick?
Good question. And, you know, that's the cool thing about what makes great winemakers. You know, first off, winemaking, you know, a lot of winemakers come from chemistry backgrounds because they do actually measure sugar levels and acid levels and a lot of other things in the grape. But ultimately, it comes down to tasting it. It really comes down to tasting it. And so what happens is this time of year is that winemakers from wineries all over California are out there in the fields in the mornings, in the evenings, tasting grapes. And it's because it's, you know, you think about what happens to fruit, right? If you have a fruit tree in your backyard, remember how sour it was? You know, basically the acids are high, the sugars are low. That's the fruit's way of keeping the birds from eating them until they're ripe enough so that the birds will eat them and spread the seeds and repopulate and all that kind of thing. But it's not just sweetness versus sourness. It's also about the flavors developing, and that doesn't develop at the same rate. And so winemakers are out there tasting for the sugars, but they're also tasting for this thing they call phenolics. You don't have to know that. It's not on the quiz. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's the structure, you know, the tannins, the roughness in the grape and the flavor levels and the layers to it and all those sorts of things. So, and that's a highly skilled palate that those folks have out there.
So along with that, and we did talk about sugar a little bit, but what actually happens to the physical grape once it's picked?
So that's actually a really good question. So, and we were talking earlier about how the idea is to keep the grape from breaking. So in a perfect world, the best winery vineyard relationship is having the grapes from the vineyard go straight to the winery, either their winery or someplace very close. In small bins, the smaller the bin, the less likely the grapes are going to break. And if they don't break, then they're not going to start fermenting. So then they go through a sorter and they take out the mog. You know what the mog is?
I don't know.
Mog, material other than grapes. It's their word. It's not mine.
I think you've said that before, and I always forget. I think it's something really complicated and secret.
Yeah, you know, I tend to rail against wine gibberish, but that is the one wine piece of wine gibberish
Mog.
I like. Mog, M-O-G.
Material yeah. other than grapes.
Yes. Yeah. So that's, you know, everything from sticks and stones to bees. And then they sort that either by hand or with machines. And nowadays, machines, they have these optical sorters that X-ray and radiate. Now, who knows what they do? So they get really great grapes. And then the whites go straight into a press. So what that means is that, I mean, if they do it, it could be within hours of being picked, the juice is pressed off of the whites, and then that juice goes into either in a fermentation of some sort, either mostly a tank, sometimes barrels. Red grapes, they don't press it right away. And the reason is they will often break it up, but the grapes will sit with, or maybe not. Sometimes what happens is they'll make sure that there's no yeast on there. So they hit it with a SO2, a layer of SO2 that goes away soon. And the grapes just sit, they're slightly broken up, and the juice of the grapes merges with the skins for a while. It's called a cold soak because they keep it cold and it doesn't ferment. And it picks up all of the color and the flavor, because actually all grape juice, with a couple of exceptions, is white. It's clear. Mm. So even Cabernet and Zinfandel, the juice is clear. So if you just squeezed your grape, you wouldn't have any red.
Because the color is in the skin.
All the colors in the skins. And most of the flavors in the skins, too.
I remember that more than Mog.
Yeah, well, it's probably a more important point. The reds get fermented and then they get pressed.
So much to learn. That's wine expert Rick Cushman and this month's Cushman by the Bottle. His podcast is Bottle Talk with Rick and Paul. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.